This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number three. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here in downtown Las Vegas. Circus Sports, our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Going to have another Clevelander. Berkey's from Cleveland, right? Adam Burke?
Berkey is absolutely from Northeast Ohio.
So yes. Another Clevelander joining us here later on this hour, of course, our managing editor. And then Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds here to give us a preview of the John Deere Classic. But a pleasure right now to welcome to the program Ryan Spielborg, of course, former major leaguer, now does a great job as the Colorado Rockies TV analyst. You can give him a follow on X at SpillyGoat19. Ryan, great to have you with us here. We are kind of rooting for your Rocks yesterday to get over the line. Down 6-1 to the Stros, made it close there, 6-5. But dare I say the Rockies a little bit more spunky these days, Ryan, in the last month or so?
Spunky? I don't know. They're clunky. It's been a bad year for them. I mean, like, are they playing more competitive baseball games? Yes. You know, the frustrating element, Jensen can speak to it too, is when you have a team that is performing like this, it makes it, for the teams that play them, it's not fun because you're not supposed to lose.
Right.
So, you know, like, you're looking at guys like, you know, I'm watching the Astros yesterday and, like, you're trying to play a game to win, right? You don't ever want to get in a situation where you're playing the game not to lose. And because of the Rockies' record right now, that's kind of like the way that some of the teams coming in are feeling. There's like, we cannot lose to these guys. But there's signs that they're getting a little bit more competitive, but they're still a ways away.
Yeah, a buddy, and it was almost a near comeback last night, and almost got that one across the line there against arguably the hottest team in baseball at the moment. And let's start there. You get a front row seat to it, and great job on the play-by-play call last night, buddy. It was great to listen to you for a little bit. In your mind, in the American League, size up where you would put Houston. Are they at the top? Are they one of the top two teams? And now with the injury to Jeremy Peña, how does that affect how you look at them both in the short term and the long term as well?
Yeah, good one. Because, I mean, I really like Detroit. Detroit's still, you know, my favorite team that plays as a team in Major League Baseball. I also think Detroit's gotten a little bit, come down to the pack a little bit just because of the injuries that they've suffered. But I think when it comes to Houston, I'll put them in the top three. I mean, I like, we've seen the Yankees a couple times. We know how good they can be. Toronto's actually making a nice little run right now. But as far as the Houston Astros are concerned, like, their bullpen is lights out. Like, they have four lefty relievers. Josh Hader, their lineup, even though Jeremy Peña is out, their lineup, is they don't punch out. So they do a lot of things really well, pitching, defense, timely hitting. You know, we learned yesterday that Yordan still can't get his hand right. He's going to see a specialist. So without Peña, without Yordan, you know, those are two huge blows. And they've been without Yordan now for 2 months. But I do like the Astros. I do have the Yankees and the Tigers edged out above them, though.
Talking with former major leaguer Ryan Spielborg joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, now doing a great job covering the Rockies. We saw the managerial change, Ryan, that they had there in Colorado. What have you seen with Warren Schaefer taking over here as the interim manager? Is there a different vibe now in that clubhouse, and maybe that's led to at least some more productive play?
Yeah, there definitely is a different vibe with Warren Schaefer. You know, he managed about 10 years in the minor leagues, and he's a good dude. He didn't make it to the big leagues, which is fine. There's 11 managers right now in the major leagues that have no big league service time. You know, he gets it. He's a hard worker. He's young. And, you know, going back to Detroit, like, Warren Schaefer's trying to mirror what the Tigers do as far as playing team baseball. So he's platooning. He's swapping out guys, you know, for leverage. Those are a couple things that Bud Black wasn't doing. He was willing, you know, in Schaefer's case, he's willing to use an opener if necessary. Some of the things that Bud Black wasn't willing to do because that's not how his managerial style is, and not every manager feels comfortable doing that. But Schaefer wants to have this you know, new age approach like we're seeing with some of these other ball clubs out there.
Spilly, you get to see the National League West front and center a lot here, and I don't know if a lot of us had on our bingo card that the San Francisco Giants would be alive and well in this postseason race halfway through the season. Handicap it for us there at the top. We know the Dodgers have now created a lot more breathing room, 8 games up on the Padres beginning play today. San Diego right in the thick of things. San Francisco, great back into the bullpen. They now get Devers in the fold. Of those three teams, just your overall thoughts on not only what they can do for the rest of the regular season, but potentially what you see them doing in the postseason.
Yeah, and I still have the Diamondbacks in this race. I mean, to me, they're still in there. You know, as far as I'll pick on the Rockies again for one last second, because, you know, the unfortunate part is the competitive integrity of the sport is kind of skewed because of how bad the Rockies are, which means that the Padres, Giants, Diamondbacks, Dodgers all get to play the Rockies about 13 times this year. And we saw a season ago with the White Sox. The White Sox, historically bad, but you had the Tigers go 12-1 and the Royals go 12-1 against the White Sox, and both those teams get into the postseason. So this is another situation where I think the Rockies can skew the National League Central. It can skew the National League East, because the Padres, Giants, and Diamondbacks get opportunities to beat up on the Rockies. And there just isn't a team like that in the Central or the East. So I think when it comes to the Giants and the Padres, you know, the Giants pitching is good. Their offense can be, you know, it varies, you know, day by day. But I like the Giants a lot. I think defensively they're not great. The Padres are always just really interesting to me, because I think they're better than what the record says. They also could use, you know, we know AJ probably is going to make some trades. And the Diamondbacks are in the strangest spot, because they have a chance, and they, to me, are like the Cardinals. The Cardinals have multiple players that you could probably move and get quite a return for prospects if you're willing to do it. Same with the Diamondbacks, but you're also good enough to be in the postseason. And if you get to the postseason, any one of these National League West teams can beat anybody in baseball.
Ron, let's talk about the East and the Central a little bit here after breaking down the West, because I keep looking, and Jensen and I have talked about it a lot throughout the course of the season here. Like, the Reds feel like they're still on par. I know they're behind the Brew Crew right now and the Cardinals in the Central, but it feels like they got a lot of young talent there. What's going on with the Braves in the East? Like, I don't understand the disconnect of what's happening there now with Acuna back, Strider back, and yet they're still not even to get to a level. Right now they're trailing the Marlins in that division. Like, what's not adding up that maybe is adding up with more of those Central teams? Because it feels like the Brewers, the Cardinals, and the Reds are all heading in the right direction.
Well, their offense is nowhere near where it was in 2023. I mean, they're just not hitting like a buzzsaw like they were. They're not hitting for homers. They're not hitting for power. They're not base running. I mean, it's just the offense has not been great. And Jerickson Profar does come back today, which could change the lineup. But, like, you look at the overall offense for the Braves, certain guys like Willie Harris, Michael Harris, you know, is having a terrible year.
Yep.
You know, like, there's just lack of performance from some of the players that they've expected to do well. Now, they're also, you know, one good stretch away from being in a good spot. They're 110 game run, and things are different. So I'm with you when it comes to the Braves. Braves are my preseason pick, along with the Texas Rangers, as far as, like, I thought they were both going to be really healthy and had a chance to go all the way to the World Series. I am completely wrong on it. Just based on both these teams have not performed well. Their offenses have just been, you know, basically stagnant. So they have the pitching. I mean, they really do. They have a kid, Spencer Schwellenbach. If you haven't watched him pitch, this guy's a strike thrower. He's a dude. So I don't know what to do with the Braves, and I'm sure Alex Anthopoulos is feeling the exact same way.
Yeah, got about a minute left, Spilly, and last one from me. The American League East, it's now all of a sudden tightened in a big way. Toronto finally wins on Canada Day, which feels like the first time in a long time. The Rays are hard charging, doing Rays things, and the Yankees searching for some consistent offense. If you had to pick the winner now, American League East division winner is?
Oh, good one. Man, I'm gonna throw a curveball right back at you. I'm gonna pick the Tampa Bay Rays. They can pitch. They're gonna go on this crazy road trip. It's gonna bond them together. They're gonna sing Kumbaya. They're gonna have lots of pizza parties. I'm gonna take the Rays just because I like chaos, and I think it'd be great if the Rays win it, just because it's like the worst case scenario for Major League Baseball. So I love it.
Yeah, that's a good chaos candidate right there with the Blue Jays, or with the Rays at 5-1 to win the East. Ryan, really appreciate the time. And very quickly, just you mentioned the difference, the kind of the mojo now in that clubhouse for the Rockies. Are the guys still up? I know it's a tough season, but like you're going to a Major League park every day. You're playing Major League Baseball in front of, you know, hopefully a big fan base is on the road and certainly back at Coors. Are the players still up?
Oh yeah, I mean, come on, man! You're a big leaguer. It's just like the players love to compete. It's just frustrating when you're getting your tail kicked every single day. So that's like they love it. I mean, every big leaguer loves being a big leaguer. So don't get it wrong. Like they don't love playing. They love to play. Don't love to lose.
That's right. You got to hate losing more than you love winning. So hopefully this thing is going to get turned around there in Colorado. Ryan, we appreciate the time, my friend. Have a great call tonight.
See you guys.
There he is, Ryan Spielborgs. Give him a follow on X at SpillyGoat19. I love that conversation, Jensen. Yeah, you guys know, you and Ryan know, the privilege it is to play Major League Baseball, even in a down season like the Rockies are having here. All right, our best bets, they're straight ahead right here. VSiN by the books.
By the books, right here on VSiN.
Enjoyed that conversation with Ryan Spielborgs in the last segment. Adam Burke is going to join us in the next segment. And then Wednesdays with Wes to wrap it all up here in hour number three on VSiN by the books. But Jensen, I just wanted to follow up on that with Ryan at the end. And that was, you know, about, we get it, worst team in baseball that he's covering right now. And I asked about that clubhouse and are guys still excited to get the ballpark every day? Because you know this sometimes in different clubhouses, there can be different vibes. And he talked about with the new manager coming in, maybe changing those vibes. When you're having a season like the White Sox had last year and like the Rockies are having this year, how do you go to the ballpark every day and say, all right, today's going to be a better day than yesterday and we're going to get a little bit better?
You are always being evaluated, and whether that is internally, there's 29 other clubs that are out there watching. And in our day and age of video, so many more cameras, things, you are being evaluated on everything you do so much more intensively than even when I played, Dave. And that was the thing. I got lucky my rookie year. We went to the postseason. We were a game from the World Series. And then we finished dead last in our division the very next year. But at the end of the year, that's when I got my opportunity to close. And it was, I thought, an audition for, hey, not only years to come, but, you know, I was going to be in a spot that following season, Dave, to qualify as a Super 2 if I pitched well. So that would have been an extra year of arbitration just from the financial impact. So, yes, we play a kid's game for money, but it's a damn good way to make a living, man. I mean, there is no better feeling than strapping on a big league jersey. Even a day like today, long day at the yard for a lot of guys, day night double dips. But hey, man, when you see that check clear every 2 weeks on the big league money and the big league meal money and flying on the charter, oh, it makes pretty easy. I can remember, Dave, and you know this as well, when you come back to what we used to say normal life when you had to go through TSA, it's way different than walking onto tarmac and just having your own row and, you know, not worrying about zone 3 boarding. You know, there's a lot of perks, man. And, you know, once it's gone, you realize how fortunate you were to be able to experience it.
Yeah, perspective really is everything. And friend of the program, Brian McFadden, 2-time Super Bowl champion. We've had him on here. BMAC would always say, did you get better today? Like, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're at the top, like an OKC, an SGA, are you going to get better tomorrow? Like, if you got better today, that's the goal each and every day. So that self-motivation certainly going to help. And I'm sure the Rockies are taking some inventory, as you mentioned, and always being evaluated. Let's get to our best bets here. They are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And we mentioned some of those baseball plays with those day-night doubleheaders that we've got in tow today. Does that change things for you, Jensen? Because, again, the pitching staffs could be dealt with differently because of all the rainouts we had yesterday.
Yeah, it definitely is different just from the pitching matchups in and of themselves, right? And we talked a little bit about Jacob Mizorowski, right? He was going to be just the guy you got up for today if the Mets and the Brewers played yesterday. Well, now, if you're the Mets, you got two aces you're facing, or at least ace potential there, Freddie Peralta in the day game. And then you got to get up for the Miz here in the nightcap. I look towards a couple of these other ones, you know, with the Padres and the Phillies, right? If you're the Phillies, you got Nick Pivetta, who's been good in spots and then been bad in spots. And then you have Dylan Cease in the nightcap. The day nighters, Dave, were always, I thought, more difficult to get through just because you're kind of, if that first game goes fast, you got all that downtime. Like, you would rather, hey, let's play the traditional fell swoop. We know what we're in for. It's 30 minutes, 35 minutes after completion of game one, change the uniforms, get a bite to eat, roll it back out there. So I always felt that the day nighters were the more difficult ones on the body. And then also actionable spots, Dave, something we'll watch tomorrow is seeing what starting pitching and bullpen resources were depleted for today's doubleheaders, and that will impact potential player props, particularly on the mound for tomorrow as well.
We should have, at least on paper, a really good pitching matchup in the north side of Chicago today. Imanaga is going to be going up against Bibee, and you can understand why the Cubs are favorites here. What do you make of that matchup, and is there an official play for you in that game?
Official play for me, we're going to go with the Cubs alternate line. We'll take them minus one. You can get it at $1.13 right now on DraftKings. But if you do want to play the run line for the Cubs right now, plus $1.40 there at Circa, also would endorse that play as well. I'm just going to go for a little more conservative approach here. If you are on the run line from Houston last night, oh boy, pat on the back, hang in there, because Colorado came all the way back and was able to cover it. But again, two bites at the apple here, right? If the Cubs win by one, it's a push. But you get that extra opportunity for them to be able to win by two or more. Tanner Bibee has been okay, but it's more a play, I think, on Shota Imanaga limiting a Guardians offense, Dave, that has just struggled mightily to put up really consistent efforts here. I do think the Cubs in a great spot, as you heard Spilly talk about. They're going to be one of those active teams, the deadline, and they are going to probably have to play through the finish line because of the way the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Reds have all put up their seasons thus far.
I want to ask you about the two biggest numbers on the board today in Major League Baseball and get your thoughts on them, because one of them really sticks out to me. One is that Houston game in Colorado. Austin Gomber is going to be going up against Hunter Brown. So I'm looking at a money line price, and I got to be thinking this has got to be north of $3. It's only $2.55. What am I missing? Why is this not north of $3? But conversely, I think that right now, if you want to play them on the run line, you got to lay $1.75, and now down to $1.70. Yeah. That feels too, to me, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I'd rather play the $2.55 and just win the game. And I actually think there's some value in that number for H-Town.
You can almost just go straight up Dodgers, Astros, Moneyline Parlay. That's at $1.27 payout right now. If you're feeling adventurous here, Dave, and you do, I mean, it's mind-boggling. The Astros on the road are $1.75 on the run line. It was just completely unplayable.
Totally.
By itself. Now, if you want to do the run lines for Astros and Dodgers, that's plus $1.57. So what you could do, Dave, is, as we kind of have workshop before, take 3/4 of a unit on that money line parlay, and then take the other quarter for the plus $1.57 on those two run lines parlay together.
That was the other game I wanted to ask you, because again, by first blush, I get it. It's Kershaw against Sean Burke here, and we know Kershaw is going to get history. That feels like it's overinflated at 310. Like, to me, I'd almost revert, because of how great Hunter Brown has been. That's where I'm getting at. I just don't know how many runs the Rockies going to be able to score. Can you get something off Kershaw if you're the White Sox and make this game maybe a little bit squeaky bum time if you're laying 310 on the Dodgers?
Yeah, you could if you want the shock the world parlay tonight. The White Sox Rockies money lines together are 10-1. If you want to put those, but if you do want to take little bites and maybe you squeak the run lines across, if you take both run lines for the White Sox and the Rockies, it's plus 456. So stranger things have happened. I've traditionally, Dave, wanted to stay away from anything north of, 275.
Totally.
The Astros are right on the fringe of that at the moment. No interest in either of those games right now.
Yeah, there's no way I'm laying 310. I love your Clayton Kershaw, but there's just no way I'm trusting that price point there. You've got some locks already in and some plays already in for the WNBA for tomorrow that you've locked in. What numbers did you get?
First of all, the Lynx could be dead to me from the spread perspective. Thought we were just in an unbelievable position. They were 6.5 open, locked them in early. They were upwards of, 10.5?
Uh-huh.
And they lose by, 15 or 16 to the Fever.
No Caitlin Clark either.
And so Sophie Cunningham, we'll have some words later. So here's three totals for tomorrow. We locked these in yesterday, Dave. Storm and the Dream under 162. Mercury and the Wings over 168.5. And then we'll go back to the well here. Mystics and the Lynx under 159.5. As I look through at the moment... we have already gotten a half point there on the under for the Storm and the Dream, unchanged so far on the Mercury Wings and Mystics Lynx totals. But those are my plays at the moment, and excited to see the WNBA cause me heartache yet again tomorrow.
But I will say that, again, the exercise was correct, got way ahead of the number. Maybe the athletes did not execute the plan to complete the mission. Right now, there is a $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VEASAN. All you got to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days of doing so, you deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You're going to receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet is going to give you a $100 deposit match. VEASAN will complete the trifecta with a free VEASAN Pro subscription through October 31st. That in and of itself is a $200 value. So that is the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VEASAN. Head over to VEASAN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion. It's limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this very offer. It will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay. When we come back, Adam Burke, our managing editor, is going to join us. We'll talk all about that NFL betting guide that's already out for VEASAN Pro subscribers and Major League Baseball, plus Wednesdays with Wes to wrap it all up. So don't go anywhere. It is VEASAN by the books.
VEASAN by the books, right here on VEASAN.
We will be talking some golf with Wes Reynolds next segment here to preview the John Deere Classic going on up there in Illinois. But right now, always a pleasure to catch up with our managing editor right here at VEASAN. Give him a follow on X at Skating Tripods. Adam Burke, kind enough to join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. And Adam, we were talking a little bit before the segment about you and Jensen know all about this in Cleveland. As we get ready for the NFL season, can't wait. The betting guide's out. We're going to talk about that. Is there any ray of hope for the Browns this year to shock the football world, Adam, and say, you better keep an eye on this team?
So I didn't want to cut off your big speech there on that question because I could have said no after, is there any ray of hope? Because I knew where you were going with that. So absolutely not. No.
Berkey, I know that Zach Cohen, amongst many others, and shout out JVT, Matty Humans, Dave Tooley, Wes Reynolds, and of course yourself here. It is such a fabulous read and a steal of a deal right now for people. Just $9.99 for the first 30 days subscription. I know Zach did the AFC North breakdown here. As you put this guide together this year, anything that really stands out in your mind that people really need to get a hold of?
Well, I think there's a few things, right? I mean, there's a lot of groupthink here in this guide where a lot of our experts, a lot of our hosts, a lot of our contributors are pretty like-minded on a couple of teams, and specifically the 49ers being one of them, and then also the Buffalo Bills being a team that, look, it's easy to say you like the Bills, but, I mean, this is a year where the Bills have really significant expectations because of the way that their schedule kind of comes together. There may be some options to bet on them in the futures market that I think, you know, people will find really valuable here in this guide. But I want to talk about something that you just mentioned there, the $9.99 intro offer over at vsin.com. So I picked up an unnamed college football betting guide yesterday, and a lot of these things are $15-$20 or more now to get. You get ours for $9.99 with that intro offer, plus you get to see everything we do over at vsin.com for the next 30 days. And look, if you time it right, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but if you time it right here over the next few days, our college football betting guide comes out August 5th. Mm. So if you time it right, you can maybe get both of those guides for $10, see what we're all about as we head into the football season here. But yeah, I mean, I think for $9.99, 94 pages, the amount of effort, the amount of work put in by our entire VSIN team, but especially my editorial and design teams here, it's a visually great looking guide. It's a great read. There's probably 120 plus best bets in this thing that you can consider investing in here as we look ahead to the NFL season. It's a very valuable piece of preparation for you, and I think everyone should head to vsin.com/subscribe and check out whatever option works best for them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It is a fantastic read. And I was surprised to find that nobody's investing in the Kansas City Chiefs, at least to win the AFC this year for a team that's been to back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls. Was that a big surprise to you, Adam, that nobody's on board with the Chiefs to get back to a fourth straight Super Bowl?
Well, I'm not saying I'm right all the time, but I guess it wasn't a big surprise to me because I do like Denver in the AFC West, and it seems like I'm not alone in that sentiment. But then also, we had a lot of people looking at the Los Angeles Chargers for a variety of different reasons. Patrick Mahomes was objectively bad in the regular season last year, at least relative to his standards. They still found a way to make it to the Super Bowl, where, of course, we know they got blown out. Maybe there's a little bit of recency bias in there because of how they looked against Philadelphia. But, you know, from a metrics standpoint, they were not impressive last year. They won a bunch of one-score games they probably didn't deserve to win. They felt the most vulnerable that they've felt. We kind of felt like this dynasty was crumbling little by little. And some people faded them last year, and maybe they were just a year early with doing that. But yeah, like I mentioned, I mean, the Bills are a really popular team here. The Ravens, of course, the Bengals are pretty popular as well. But the Chiefs are definitely one of those teams that we collectively as a group have some concerns about. Now, I will say our VSIN people did pick the Chiefs the most to win the AFC West still. But like you said, not to have them experience a whole lot of playoff success. So we'll see how it all plays out for them, but you certainly feel like they're kind of starting to be on the backside of the hill, so to speak.
Berkey, another part of this guide that I absolutely love, the Fantasy Points data suite, helping people get ready in particular for fantasy drafts, and also at least one recommended prop for all 32 teams. I thought that was a spectacular idea and just another unique way that this betting guide differentiates itself from anything else. Anything else that people can expect that maybe is a bit new for this year's edition that maybe we haven't done in the past?
Yeah, so those two Fantasy Points articles are new. These are things that, you know, we were able to do based on our relationship with John Hansen, who, of course, was the host of Prop Points during the NFL season. Shout out to Scott Barrett over there at Fantasy Points for working with me to, you know, kind of envision what these articles are going to be. You know, primarily they are a fantasy site, but we know that there's a ton of crossover between fantasy sports, whether it's daily or season long, and prop betting. And so that's what we decided to do, you know, put this thing together in a way that we could produce some prop bets, but also be able to help people out with their fantasy drafts. You know, I realize that a lot of bettors out there may be a little bit hesitant to tie their money up for, you know, 6-7 months here with some of these prop bets, but they definitely have fantasy drafts coming up that they're thinking about, who they want to use with their first round pick, who they want some of their sleepers to be, stuff like that. And especially if you're in a dynasty league, you know, looking at some of these rookies like an RJ Harvey for the Broncos, things of that sort. So I think these two articles are not only visually stunning, I think Matt Devine, our guide editor, did a great job with those, but it provides kind of more of a 360 degree view for us in this guide than we've ever really had. And so Ryan Heath and John Hansen deserve big shout outs for their contributions to the guide this year.
Again, $9.99 for the first 30 days, or just do the whole kit and caboodle. $175 will cover you all the way through the Super Bowl in next February. So fantastic deals out there.
I just want to mention this. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, Dave, but I talked about this yesterday when I was on VSiN Primetime. I know it's called the football special, but as you said, it's through the Super Bowl, right? So that's the start of the NBA season, start of the NHL season, start of the college basketball season, through the college football playoff and all of that. I counted this out yesterday. If betting guides are your thing, right? If you really like the betting guides, you do that football special, you will get 8 of our betting guides in that span. So that is a tremendously good value for you over at VSiN.com. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just want to make sure that people are aware. It's called the football special because it's football season coming up, but you get a whole hell of a lot more than that.
Yeah, it really is. It's we say it all the time. It's a fantastic deal at $175 again. So check it out now, VSiN.com/subscribe. And Adam, great work by you and the crew. Let's get to Major League Baseball here very quickly in the time that we have left. Obviously, a lot of day baseball and a lot of rainouts. How does that affect things for you? I know for a lot of these teams with double dips today, are you going to be looking at these pitching matchups and going, how much of these games are going to be bullpen games if you got to play 2 today?
Yeah, so for the most part, I have a real big problem playing doubleheaders, specifically the second game, you know, because I don't know what happens in game one, right? Guy gets hit by a pitch, doesn't play game two. That definitely shifts the line. You know, is game one a close game? Is it an extra inning game? You know, who gets burned from the bullpen that can't pitch in game two? So I typically don't mess with doubleheaders a whole lot. I do like the Phillies, you know, for the, at least offensively for the first 5 in this one against Nick Pivetta here this morning. I had the Phillies first 5 run line yesterday again with Christopher Sanchez on the mound. That one got canceled, obviously. I don't like Mick Abel nearly as much as Sanchez, so I'm not playing the first 5 run line here, but I do think that Pivetta could be in line to struggle. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, has a career low home run to fly ball percentage at 9.7%, a guy who's obviously pitched extremely well at Petco Park, where it's relatively easy to pitch well. But he left Boston and Fenway Park in the AL East for a reason. Now he takes on a really good Phillies lineup. I like the Phillies first 5 team total over 1.5. I think that's definitely too low if you've got a DraftKings account. That's -130. Even 2.5 at plus money, I think, is a decent look here for the Phillies this morning. So I don't like to play a lot of doubleheaders, but that was one that stood out to me here this morning.
I love it. Berkey, last 30 seconds here with you, pal, and I'll give you the floor. Our Guardians, it's just not good, man. It's not good. They've lost 5 in a row since Jose Ramirez got plunked. Bibee and Imanaga from the friendly confines tonight. What do you like?
Well, I don't like watching the Guardians right now. I mean, I kind of been hate watching them here of late. I mean, just absolutely lifeless. I have no idea why Chase DeLauter is still in Columbus. Really, CJ Cephas should be up too.
Yes, preach.
It's ridiculous. It's absurd. The offense is pathetic. And the problem is, well, they have many problems, but one of the problems is that Lane Thomas and David Fry are doing virtually nothing. And with David Fry coming back from Tommy John, I kind of get it, but like, the dude cannot play a position. And if he can't hit lefties, he's worthless. So they haven't hit lefties basically since the Clinton administration. They're not going to do anything against Imanaga here today, I don't think. Bibee's been pitching well, but I'm trying to figure out the best way to fade Cleveland in the first 5 here today. Even first 3 under 0.5 runs plus 120, I think, is a good bet. I don't think they do anything the first time through against Imanaga. My God, what a debacle. What did this say? And it's not even Brown season yet.
Well, I was going to say.
This is terrible.
Sounds like a guy ready for football season. Let's get done with the Guardians.
Go Buckeyes.
Go Buckeyes.
That's right.
Adam, we appreciate it. Great stuff again on Guide, the NFL betting guide. It's out. It is fantastic. So, again, give him a follow on X at Skating Tripods. When we come back, we're talking golf, people. Go back to your shanties. It's VSiN by the books.
By the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the books. Great conversation with Adam Burke in the last segment. And now it's time for Wednesdays with Wes, the one and only Wes Reynolds. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds number one. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. And I think you are ready for the John Deere Classic, my friend. That is a great look to get us ready for the big tournament up there in Illinois.
Yeah, thanks to the local filling station / truck stop out here in Las Vegas where I saw this ad. And I was like, oh, John Deere Classic is next week. So let's get a prop going. So looking forward to the event in the Quad Cities this week.
Yeah, it should be a really good one. Yeah, Jensen, we were talking about it here, that there is some different angles and avenues of approach. Jensen, tell Wes what you've already got in pocket since we workshopped this morning.
Again, and Wes, we love a good superstition here on By the Books. And if for people not aware, there is this Victory House that is housed literally the last 2 to 3 winners,
three of them,
of the John Deere Classic. I think three of them. Davis Thompson on record giving us the occupants earlier this week of said house. So this, I just went and put some pizza money on all these guys. So we have JT Post and Davis Thompson, Denny McCarthy, I know is on your card as well. Pat Gazier, Chris Kirk, Ben Knowles, and Grayson Sig. So I just took like $60 and just kind of, you know, shuttled it all over these guys. I know Davis and Denny are those guys. We'll start there. How did you start to handicap this tournament for your card this week?
Yeah, Jensen, I did cover this in the article actually up at vsin.com. Each of the last 3 years, as you point out, it's been a quote-unquote trophy house, which is a little Airbnb just a few miles away from the golf course. And there's another handicapper in the space, Ron Close, who was up in Detroit last week and asked Davis Thompson who's going to stay in the house, because Poston was there in 2022, Sepp Straka in 2023, and then, of course, Thompson in 2024, and mentioned those names that you had mentioned. So, you know, I ended up with one of them. I kind of thought almost to go with your game plan, Jensen, and I don't think it's the worst idea necessarily in the world to, you know, say, okay, my card's done here. I think one of these guys has a chance to win, because there's a lot of guys that have a chance to win here, including McCarthy, 28-1 where I started my card. McCarthy is really more of a course form guy, not necessarily a recent form guy. Not that he's played badly, but he certainly hasn't been in contention as much as he was in 2024 and then 2023 before that. But 7th here last year, 6th here the year before, and then 6th also in 2022. He's one of the top putters still on the PGA Tour. I think he slipped a little bit, so he's only 9th in strokes gained putting, where he's usually like top 3 or 4. But this turns into a putting contest here. It very much does. And there are very few guys I want in a putting contest necessarily more than Denny McCarthy.
One of those guys that's actually ranked a little bit higher than him in the putting stats, and I mentioned this with Jensen earlier, Nico Echeverria is a name that played well last week, and we know how good he can be on the short grass there. Do you like his chances if this is going to be a putter's paradise?
I do. I did not bet him on the outright, but I would certainly, I think he's a top 20 play, top 30 play, if you want to go maybe a little bit more conservative, which I kind of like to live in that 20, 30, 40 range in terms of the placement markets. But, you know, Nico's right outside the top 50 in the world golf rankings. He's 51st in the world. He's won a couple times in the last couple of years. So he's got some win equity. Now you'll see some strings of missed cuts and whatnot, but T6 last week at the Rocket Mortgage. So absolutely he could go well in these like birdie fest events. And this is certainly one of them, much like what we saw last week in Detroit.
Wes, and this is the uniqueness of these kind of events, right, where you have a lot of the longer odds, if you will, with a couple of these guys that are going to be quite intriguing. I know Dave brought up Michael Thorbjornsson, but he also brought up a long shot in Doug Gim, the Gim Reaper, here as well. 100-1, I know you found him at FanDuel. Give us your outlook for him. I know he was top 20 last week in Detroit, but where do you see the Gim Reaper here this weekend?
Yeah, before I get to the Gim Reaper, I'll start with Thor, who you mentioned, Michael Thorbjornsson, runner-up here last year, one shot out of the playoff. He's who I had last week. That was my nearest pony in the fight there at the Rocket Classic, ended up T4. Very similar to Davis Thompson's profile last year. He's been knocking at the door a couple times this year to get a win. He's runner-up at the Corrales Punta Cana, missed a very short par putt that kept him out of the playoff, unfortunately, there fourth at the Zurich Classic in New Orleans, fourth last week in Detroit. So I think Thor can go well, and I think Doug Gim can go well. And he's got a little bit more of a sense of urgency, though, because he's 124th in the FedEx Cup points. And I know we don't really start deciding that until very late in the month, in July and at the turn of August, but got to keep your card out of peril if you're a guy like Doug Gim and needs a couple good weeks. I think this could be a very good week for him. He was top 20 in Detroit last week, gained strokes really across the board. He was green across the form line. And TPC Deer Run, if you look at the profile of players who have won here, and we mentioned a couple of them earlier, JT Poston and Michael Kim and those guys, shorter hitters off the tee, but very accurate ball strikers that give themselves a lot of birdie chances. And I think Doug Gim certainly will do that this week.
Unless your name is Scotty Scheffler, and of course he's not in the field this week as we get ready for the British in 2 weeks, it's really hard to go back-to-back in the PGA Tour. We know how hard it is to win once, let alone twice. It's got to be really hard if you're 20 and you just won for the first time in Aldrich Pocketer last week. But we know how impressively long he is off the tee and not too bad on the greens as well. What would be a positive week for Pocketer in your mind, Wes? Because I don't know how many people want to take him in outrights.
I think maybe a top 20 finish would certainly be positive, and there's no reason he can't contend here. And Aldrich, I thought, you know, and I left him off. I was on him, you remember, on the Mexico Open, yep, where he got that rotten break against him with Brian Campbell hitting that tee shot off the trees and bouncing right back into the fairway, and ended up beating our young South African in the playoff. But he could definitely contend here this week because these fairways are forgiving now. You can't necessarily just bomb it on every hole because you got to be a little bit more strategic because there are some fairway bunkers. So this isn't like Detroit last week where you necessarily, okay, there's no real hazards off the tee. You could clear every fairway bunker. There's no water hardly on the course. So that's a little bit of a different case here at TPC Deer Run. But he still has the profile. And look, sometimes hot players stay hot. We've seen that a little bit with Ben Griffin.
Yep.
There's a reason why Ben Griffin is as low as like 11 to 1 at Circa. He's been playing really good golf and, you know, hat tip to him. But, you know, it's like, really, he's that short of a price. But hot players stay hot and bettors keep betting them, and they get rewarded with very good finishes at least.
Yeah, no doubt. Wes, last one from me here on the golf front. Some other long shots you may have. And also for people, and I know Dave is really good at this, first round leaders, maybe some guys that you can envision really taking advantage here tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon. Any names to highlight for people out there?
Well, Kevin Yu is another one I played at 40 to 1. He was sixth here 2 years ago, 20th last year. Fourth in tee to green on the PGA Tour overall, at least in this week's field. Couple near misses, was third in Canada, was fourth in Myrtle Beach back in May. So this guy can really hit it long. He won the Sanderson Farms in Mississippi last fall. So Kevin Yu, certainly a guy I think is going to get off to a good start. Bud Cauley, Justin Thomas, his roommate at University of Alabama, keeps saying Bud's real close, man. He's real close, and he has been close. Four top sixes this season. We remember, of course, several years ago, he had that car accident, complications from injuries. So he kind of lost several years of his golfing career, but he's still only 35 years old. He's got time, and we see guys, you know, in golf's middle age range, if you will, at 35. I'd love to be middle age at 35 again, but perfect place for him to complete, I think, that comeback. And then a couple South Africans. We're going to continue with that theme with Pat Jeter, of course, winning. Christian Bezuidenhout, 75 to 1, one of the best putters, one of the best around the green. And then Cheerston Lawrence, 85 to 1. Lawrence, remember, contended, yep, in the U.S. Open a few weeks ago in Oakmont, also contended in the Open Championship last summer. Started off horribly this year, missed 10 of 12 cuts, but then went back to the DP World Tour for a couple weeks, was fourth in Belgium, and then had that good finish at the U.S. Open, T8 last week in Detroit. So a pair of South Africans, maybe we continue the narrative with that nation here on the PGA Tour.
Wes, you know I'm going to ask you about it because I always ask you about it for years. We're still a $1.45 betting favorite for Bethpage Black at the Ryder Cup, right? So we got the Open to get through, then it's all eyes go to Bethpage. If I made you Ryder Cup captain right now, what do you do with Keegan Bradley?
I pick him. I absolutely play him. I think he's one of the top 12 U.S. golfers right now. I absolutely think he should play. Now, who do you turn the reins over to? You know, one of the vice captains, whether it's, you know,
Jim Furyk,
Kevin Kisner, Jim Furyk, who's been a captain before, somebody like that. But I don't think Keegan can sit himself. And I know that that's difficult when you're the captain, but I think you got to play your best 12 guys, and I think he's one of the best 12 guys.
And if he does just stay captain and doesn't play, does that affect the handicap for the team? Because we'd be a weaker team if he doesn't play.
You know, a little bit, but you're going to have a few rookies on this team anyway. You're going to have J.J. Spahn. There's a good chance like a Ben Griffin makes this team, perhaps an Andrew Novak. So you're going to have some inexperience, I think, on this roster, whether he selects himself or not.
It's a great look. I can't wait to see your Ryder Cup hat when we get there. There he is, everybody. Wes Reynolds. Give him a follow. Wes Reynolds, #1 numbers game coming up next.